Welcome to the One Bottle of Wine podcast. I'm Emily.
And I'm Anissa.
And tonight we're loving life. Anissa, do you want to tell us a little more about tonight's wine?
I would love to, Emily. So I feel like I'm constantly the one telling us about the wine, but I just keep finding these like little gems and I'm kind of excited to share them with you guys. So the wine that we're drinking tonight, as Emily already mentioned, is actually a French wine and it's called Ami La Vie. Now, if anyone on this podcast is French, do not come for me. I've never studied French, taken French, any of that. I'm literally just reading the label on the wine. But Google told us that it translated to loving life. So to tell you a little bit more about the wine, we've consulted our Vivino app, but it is a Syrah Grenache, which is a rosé. And I just realized we have not touched or drank a rosé at all. So I think this is a really good one. I'm going to take a little sip and tell you guys what we think. So very smooth. Very, very smooth. What do you think, Em?
I'm definitely getting like strawberry and some like florally notes, I feel like.
Very floral. 100% agree.
And I love a floral wine. I love a floral perfume and I love a floral wine.
So I chilled this. Did you chill yours?
Yeah, but not very long.
Okay. So I chilled this and I feel like it could still maybe use an ice cube or two. This is something that I would probably down in a heartbeat if I was sitting outside on like my patio on like a Saturday afternoon in the spring or summer.
Yeah. So basically not maybe the right wine for 28 degree weather that we're having today, but it would hit the spot in the summer.
Yes, definitely. As I said, it's a French wine. It's you know, from France. It's a 2020 edition. So now that we're in 2022, we're a little behind. The bottle also says that it's 60% Syrah and 40% Grenache. I'm not too familiar with Grenache or like what it is.
I think it might just be pronounced Grenache.
Oh, okay.
Grenache. I'm not positive though. I'm
you might be right. It is. That sounds prettier also. It has an incredible freshness, the wine does, according to the back. And it's charming, fruit forward with rose petal notes. So definitely recommend it. I got it at Trader Joe's. I did some grocery shopping and I said, I'm getting you a bottle. Let's try this. It's pretty. It looks simple and it's not very expensive. So go for it, people.
Well, good pick. And Trader Joe's, I mean, love me a good Trader Joe's wine. So
honestly, are we going to rate the wines? Are we going to start doing the rating thing? Because like,
yeah, let's do that. Let's rate this one.
Okay. I think I'm honestly going to go and give this also an 8 out of 10. Again, not for the occasion, like the cold weather and all that stuff, but in terms of like flavorful, smooth, not super dry, like just what I would look personally in a rosé, I think it's an 8 out of 10.
Yeah. I think I'm going to give this one an 8 as well. I like that it's not too sweet. I think rosés can tend to be a little bit too on the sweet side. This one, because of those floral notes and like the fruits that I feel like are in it are not the sweeter fruits. They're like the strawberries, cherries, like raspberries. It's a really nice balance. So it's very flavorful, but not too sweet.
Bingo. So now we're going to go and dive right into our episode. So do you want to tell us a little bit about what we're talking about tonight? Again, we are virtual for anyone that was wondering. We've both had some work travel recently and just thought it was best to continue to record virtually. Seeing as the climate right now is not the best to be hanging out 24/7 in person. So.
Yep. Well, we're looking forward to when we can be back in person and we can eat our sushi dinners together and record in front of a microphone. It'll be a wonderful day when we can reunite. But we did get a lot of positive feedback after last week's episode. So we're starting to just take a little bit more of this kind of subject area of these really thought-provoking questions to just put them out there and talk about them. We feel like they're very easy for anyone listening to take and then translate right into their own lives. They can ask these questions to their own friends, their own family, you know, over a bottle of wine or a mug of tea or whatever their drink of choice might be. But we definitely feel like this subject matter is very widely usable. So we picked some more questions that we thought were pretty thought-provoking to include, and we're going to talk about them.
All right. What's number one, chica?
Okay. I'll start. So number one is, what is your worst irrational fear?
Oh my gosh. I think I know it. Okay. So my first thought was like, oh, roosters, you know, back to like what we talked about a couple episodes ago where I'm like freaked out by roosters and that's a little irrational, but I have a reason, you know what I mean? Like that has more of like a reason than any of the other couple fears. Like I'm not a very fearful person. I don't think that like, if someone met me, they'd be like, oh, that girl's not scared of anything. Like it would seem, right? But bungee jumping, there is something about bungee jumping that terrifies me. And I've never even attempted it. I've never even seen it done really, except for like at an amusement park where they like launch people up in the air and you come back down, whatever. Have you ever bungee jumped?
I have never bungee jumped. It also very much scares me.
When I see somebody bungee jumping, I'm like, that string is going to like wrap around their head and they're going to die. Like something insane is going to happen. It's just terrifying. Mind you, I have jumped out of a plane twice already. Want to do it again. Super exciting, super fun. The free fall, like all the experience was fun all around, but bungee jumping is never going to happen. Like I'm just never going to do it. So like, insanely scared of a bungee jump. Like I'm picturing it right now. And like, I'm like scared. My palms are sweating.
Yeah. That one would be up there for me for sure. Bungee jumping. I agree with you. There's something about the cord or the wire, whatever they use, that just doesn't feel as safe for whatever reason as like a parachute when you're jumping out of a plane. So mine is alligators/crocodiles, like that whole family. And the reason it's irrational is that I like fear that they're in most bodies of water. Like I know they're not in oceans and I know they're not in pools. Like I'm not scared of that. But if I'm like on a lake or I'm in a river or something, there I have this irrational fear that there will be one there and that they're gonna get me. And I get scared too, just because of the way that they like bite down and then twist themselves underwater. To me, that's just like, they're easily going to rip my leg off. Like least amount of damage they're going to do is rip my leg off. Most damage is they take me all the way under and then I just drown instantly.
You're screwed. So,
right. Like there's no real like getting out of that one. So yeah, they're really scary and they're big.
I don't know that that's super irrational. I'm kind of like on the same boat. Like when I think I wouldn't want to be around a crocodile for sure. And same thing with sharks. I've never seen a shark in my life, you know, in person. I've seen a million, like Jaws. Think about Jaws.
Yeah.
I'm literally picturing that. And I'm like, man, no. Mm-mm. So it's something about the teeth. It's something about their like vicious, you know, built up behavior that we might have that probably causes us to have these fears, but I don't know that they're irrational. I'm sure there's a lot of people that feel the same way.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
All right. So the next one's a little bit on a lighter note, not talking about our fears. You know, someone, you know, my friends are going to show up and be like, so you want to go bungee jumping? So this one, I think I like this one a lot. And just to clarify for everyone, we're both heterosexual females. But this question is asking about the same sex. So we'll be talking and describing our friends. What are your top five qualities of the same sex?
I would say off the top of my head, respect would be a big one. Just somebody who respects me, who respects my thoughts and my feelings and my opinions. That's a big one for me. Loyalty, which we think for both of us, that's a big deal because I think we're both pretty loyal people. We pride ourselves on that. I would say honesty. I don't know if honesty and loyalty are exactly the same, but honesty for sure. I just would rather somebody be brutally honest with me and tell me everything than hide things from me because they're trying to like spare my feelings. Like, let me decide what I feel or not by being honest with me. And then, you know, we'll work it out from there. Five is hard. I mean, like, I'm trying to come up with two more.
I'm going to keep it at three. I mean, three's a good number.
Well, I do feel like fun. That might be a really weird one, but like, you have to be kind of fun or funny. Like, if I want to hang out with you a lot, I want to be able to have fun with you. So if you're taking life too seriously, then I probably am not going to want to spend all that much time around you. I'm trying to think of a fifth one. I don't know. Give me some of yours. I mean, let's see if I can think of a fifth one.
Okay. So you hit the nail on the head. Like, as you were speaking, I was like, yo, you're literally taking the words out of my mouth. My order was just a little bit different than yours. But I don't think, you know, that has any relevance on how important these are. When I'm looking for a friend, by far loyalty is number one. And that's not something that you can see right off the bat in a friendship, which is kind of unfortunate. You want them to, but a lot of people kind of give it away by how they talk about other people and other friendships and relationships in their lives. You know, where their loyalty lies and things of that nature. So by far top trait, if you will, honesty and loyalty, I was going to say are probably on the same wavelength. They're like one and the same to me. So I'll just keep that as one. Let's see. I didn't think of the respect one, and I really like that you said that. But for me, it would be someone that's responsible. Someone that, you know, the older we get, the more responsibility we have in our lives. And I feel like if someone's responsible, they're able to schedule things with you. They're able to communicate properly with you about their availability and their schedule and their lives. And they're responsible in their own life, but they're also going to be responsible and like appreciative of our friendship. So loyalty and someone that's responsible, absolutely someone that's a fun time. Okay. Someone with a good sense of humor that can be serious and joke and just, it goes in different wavelengths and can read the crowd, has some common sense and awareness of their surroundings. I think that goes a very, very long way in a friend. Now I'm getting stuck. The one I really like that you said was respect. That wasn't on my list. I kind of want to put it on my list.
I thought of two more. So I'm going above my five. Well, I wanted to clarify something. When we talk about loyalty, I don't mean blind loyalty. For me, I want someone to be loyal to me, but part of being loyal is also being honest. So if I'm just like raging against somebody that's really I'm raging irrationally against somebody, like I would need you, my friend, to come in and be like, Em, I hear you. Like I'm on your team. I'm on your side, but have you thought about it this way? Have you looked at it this way? Cause it helps, right, to be checked sometimes as a friend. And something I know that I need is not just somebody who's going to come in and tell me exactly what I want to hear. I want you to feel like you're on my side, but I also need you to be honest. So I wanted to make that point clear about loyalty.
I have one.
Okay, go.
Communication, someone that can communicate with you even when it's hard, right? So exactly what you're just saying, someone that can actually come up and say those things versus being like, you know, I'm kind of scared to talk to Anissa about this, or I don't want to approach this situation because I don't know how to rightfully do it, or it's not my place, or whatever many excuses and reasons it can be. Like if we're friends, I want you to feel like you have my undivided attention when you want to communicate something to me, whether it's about myself, about yourself, about somebody else. If you have something you want to share, whatever it may be, communication is so important in a relationship, in a friendship, in any type of climate. Okay. What's your next one?
My other two were open-mindedness and self-awareness. Those are two that open-mindedness is a big one because like, if you are not open-minded and you can't see beyond your own little sphere, then I just don't think that we would mesh because I really like enjoy talking to different people about different things. And, you know, again, that respect factor comes in is that you're not always going to agree with somebody on everything, but if you respect and you can have an open conversation, but yeah, just like being able to see beyond your own opinions and thoughts and feelings. And anyway, and then self-awareness is another huge one. And like, how are your words and actions impacting other people? And if your words and actions are impacting other people in a negative way, being able to recognize that and being able to, you know, apologize or attempt to like diffuse the situation in whatever way, because I definitely have had experiences with people who were not self-aware of their behavior. And like, it's detrimental to friendships because then people don't feel comfortable coming to you to talk to you about something. Cause if you're not aware of your own behavior or not aware of how your behavior might be making someone feel, then how is anyone supposed to talk to you about it? You know?
Love those. Adding those to my list too. The last one that I'm going to throw out there is just to be a down ass bitch. Okay. Like, and that is a very wide range of things. Like, you could be down to eat sushi on the couch with me. You could be down to go on a Target run with me. You could be down to start a motherfucking podcast with me. You could be down to go on a brunch date with me, get on a fucking plane and travel Europe with me. Like, just being a down ass bitch. That is a trait that I look for in a friend. Now, you don't have to be the one that does every single one of those traits, but it'd be nice to just be like, yeah, Anissa, sure, I'm down. Cause I'd be thinking of some crazy dumbass ideas sometimes. And, you know, yes, I absolutely need to be checked. Like, do we need to do that? But every once in a while, if I want to get fucked up on a Friday night with margaritas, like, just be down.
Yeah.
You know, that's it.
Totally agree.
Okay. I really like that question. It kind of like made us think about it because, you know, in retrospect, that's what we look for in a partner too, most of the time, you know? So I know that we like talked about our like red flags and green flags episode. And a lot of those things were in a way mentioned, obviously having respect for your partner and being able to have good communication and being down for whatever, like all of those things in a weird way are what we kind of also look for in a partner. But sometimes we forget to think about like who we surround ourselves with in terms of group, like friend groups.
Yeah. No, I think you too, as you get older, like you realize there are similarities between your partner and your friends and the people you surround yourself with. So definitely.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. The next one is, what is the most overrated holiday?
Can I go first?
Go.
Okay. I'm only saying this. No, I'm not only saying this. Valentine's Day is right around the corner. And you know what? We're probably going to do a Valentine's Day special or something crazy. Maybe we'll recommend this rosé to our listeners for Valentine's Day. It is pink and pretty. But I think it's the most overrated holiday of all time. I mean, maybe not of all time. Like there's some other ones like Memorial Day and whatever, Labor Day, like things that shouldn't even be holidays to an extent, the way that we celebrate them in America. Absolutely, we should celebrate them and remember people and things like that. But people go and like get on boats for Memorial Day. And you're like, how is that at all? What? Anyway, going on a tangent, let me reverse. Valentine's Day. If you're my person, you need to be telling me and treating me like Valentine's Day is every day or once a month at the very least, or on our anniversary, or you know, just because you love me and you want to tell me you love me. I don't need a random day in February that restaurants are booked months in advance for you to take me out and quote unquote express and tell me how much you love me. Buy me flowers, give me chocolates, boohoo. Overrated.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I mean, okay.
I'm glad because you're married and I'm single. So the fact that I said that might just sound like a bitter ass bitch to our listeners, but.
Yeah, we're not big Valentine's Day people in this house. Like I like to do something small or like we'll get, you know, the chocolate covered strawberries at Wegmans and just we'll do something small like that. But we're not big go out to dinner for Valentine's Day people. I agree with you. I feel like anniversaries are more special that's like a day that's just between the two of you. I know Daniel feels that way too. He's like, why do I need to show you that I love you more on this one day when I show you that I love you every day? So he's not wrong. I don't disagree with him.
Well, what I was going to say is having, you know, worked in the restaurant business for years, I loved it when I was working it, right? Like you get all these happy couples coming in, tipping you extra, the girls watching how much he's leaving you on the tip, like, cause you did a great job. That was a popping day. Don't get me wrong, but in terms of overrated, like how it's advertised and what they sell, like all the little heart-shaped stuff, the fact that kids at school give people things, like, do you remember that?
Oh yeah.
Like how painful was that when you had to, like, your mom or dad would buy you like a set of like the Fun Dip, for example. I mean, I love me some Fun Dip, not gonna lie, but you had to write everyone's name, like from Anissa to Jenny, or from any, like Emily, like you, what?
Can I tell you that I did that not that long ago with Fun Dip for my whole office, like drop the, and I'm sure most of the people didn't eat them because most people were like, I'm over 30 years old, I don't eat Fun Dip anymore, which is fair. But I did, I remember I just like saw it at the grocery store and I was like, well, I really want a Fun Dip, but I also don't want to buy this whole box of Fun Dip for me. So I'm going to write everybody a Valentine and then I'll eat my like one or two that I had left over.
I will never be too old to eat Fun Dip. The fact that it comes out once a year and you're like, let me just get some like color in my mouth. I feel like I want to look like a dragon.
I want to have a green tongue for the next 3 days.
Yeah. The blue one is by far the best. Okay. Okay. Enough about Valentine's Day. See, we're giving it too much credit right now. And like,
let's get them for each other. And then let's just like eat them and turn our tongues green.
Can I also send you another bottle of wine?
Yeah, sure. Okay. So my holiday is July 4th. Just doesn't do it for me. Like, look, don't get me wrong. I love a good reason to grill, light some fireworks, like do all that stuff. Like I love all of the traditional stuff that comes along with it. And I understand it represents like a large moment in our country's history. I don't downplay that at all, but just doesn't do it for me.
With you 100%. I don't know. The only thing that's kind of cool is that it falls like in the middle of summer. So, you know, as kids, we had like something to look forward to in the middle of summer. And then as adults, we have a holiday in the middle of summer that we're like, okay, cool. We can somehow loop this together as like a family, you know, long week off or whatever you may call it. I feel bad for my friend Stephanie. Her birthday is the day before. And I'm like, oh, that sucks. Cause like people always have plans for 4th of July. Mm-hmm. But to be very honest with you, I'm 100% there. Like the fireworks are cool. Could go without them. You know, everything else is just like a, you know, another reason to drink, if you will, in America.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. What's the next one?
Okay. Next one is, what is our least favorite common food? So something that people eat on a regular basis, but we do not like at all.
Mine is olives.
Oh, that's a really good one.
I can't stand them.
Me neither.
I hate them.
Totally with you on that. Oh man, I don't know if I can top that. Olives are not, oh no.
I'm like a total minority in my household because Daniel's whole family eats olives. It's like the only topping they ever want on pizza. They all just like eat it casually. My mom, my sister, they both like olives. I don't like them and I never have. I want to, like, I would love to like them. But I don't, like, I don't like martinis either.
What if I said bacon? Because I can't have it. And it is such a common food. And I honestly, it grosses me out. I wouldn't even want it.
Do you like turkey bacon or have you ever done turkey bacon?
Love turkey bacon.
Okay.
So, but like the sight of actual bacon grosses me out. Oh, I have a good one. Poached eggs.
Oh, I love poached eggs.
Maybe I just haven't had them like done right, or something about the appearance grosses me out. I love a hard-boiled egg. I love a scrambled egg. I love an over easy egg. I love an omelet. I love eggs. Okay. Poached eggs just make me not feel good inside. So, and it's a common food because I see like the hollandaise sauce on an eggs benedict and I'm like, ooh, gross.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the best one I could think of. I feel like I could come up with a lot if I really thought about it.
Maybe we need to just get you a really well done poached egg and like have you try it.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe I just need to blind try it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like without knowing what I'm eating. Do you know, fun fact, I didn't eat rice until I was 15 years old.
Why?
Yeah. I had an irrational fear of rice. When I was younger, my mom didn't like rice because of like post-war stuff. They had to eat a lot of rice. Like it was like a thing. I don't know. And then as we got older, she like started making it again. And there was something about the appearance of rice that just grossed me out. And so my family loves Chinese food. And so my sister would order Chinese food pretty regularly for everyone and would always have to order me something different or like improvise for me. And one day she's like, listen, I'm tired of this bullshit. Close your eyes, open your mouth, and take a bite. And I did. And I was like, oh, that's not bad. I might kind of like this. Literally haven't stopped eating rice since. Like, I love rice. But it was just a weird, irrational, like, mindset that I had about rice. And
that's so crazy. I never knew that about you.
Yep. Now you do. So if you're ever like, Anissa, you want some rice?
Now you get fried rice when we get it from our Asian place.
Yeah. Well, but that's the thing is like, I've basically gone more than half my life without rice. If you look at the math right now,
mm-hmm.
Cause I'm 28. So
you're making up for lost time now.
Absolutely. I kind of want some rice right now, to be honest.
It does sound good. Some sushi. I was thinking about sushi tonight.
Oh, I know. I had some cauliflower rice earlier. It's not nearly as good.
No, it's not the same. Okay. So next one is, what is your nastiest habit?
Ooh, who wants to admit this shit on fucking air?
I mean, mine's very obvious if for anyone who knows me, but I bite the skin around my nails and it's a really bad habit. And I've tried so hard to stop and I just can't, but I get called out on it a lot. So
I know I call you out all the time. I'm like, Em, stop biting your damn nails.
Mm-hmm.
To be very honest with you, I kind of do that sometimes, but not a lot. I do it because I get my nails done.
Mm.
So I don't nearly like need to do it as much, but occasionally I'm like, oh, this is, you know, hangnail type of thing is bothering me. Okay. For me, I think picking my nose. And when I say picking my nose, I'm not talking about for anyone that's listening, like you nasty fucks. I'm not talking about like sticking my whole ass finger in there, picking everything out, looking at my boogers, potentially eating. Like we're not talking about little kid, 5-year old picking their nose. Okay. I have like an interesting shaped nose in my opinion. It's a beautiful nose, but it's interesting. So I get a lot of like dry skin around my nostrils. And so I occasionally, probably more than I should, touch around to make sure there's no boogers hanging out.
Mm.
That involves me like looking like I'm picking my nose. Mind you, every morning that I wake up, and I thought about like whether it was just my house and like the dust in my house or something like that. And then I realized it's anywhere that I sleep, like at a hotel. Like I was at a hotel in Houston not that long ago at my cousin's house. Every morning that I wake up, I have to blow my nose. Like I have to get all the gunk out, blow my nose. I feel like it's super stuffy. So I think that it's just gross. I talked about it way too much. It's gross.
No, I get that. I think that's pretty normal. I don't think that's like anything outrageous. I think we all get like dry skin and sometimes it's hard to get everything out with a tissue. And sometimes you just kind of got to use what God gave you and get that dry stuff out of there. So that's not that abnormal for sure.
And I mean, I have really long nails, so it's a lot easier to like use my nails and then just like wash it off my fingernail than it is like, you know, digging up there with whatever. Sometimes I use a Q-tip. Occasionally I'll put like Neosporin on a Q-tip and rub it around to prevent it, but I don't think I just do it enough.
Yeah. That makes sense. All right. Well, you want to close this out?
Yeah. I would just like to mention, even if we were more nasty, we probably wouldn't tell you guys. Just kidding. Yes, I will close this out on a happier, much cleaner note than our nastiest habits. Think of your best friend. In which ways are you most similar and most different? And I think for this one, we should probably do each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll let you go first.
Okay. How about we kind of tag team this one? So like,
okay,
I'll say one way that I think we're similar and then you can either agree or disagree. And then you can say one thing. Okay. I would say most similar is that we're both very strong-willed.
Okay.
Would you say you agree with that?
Absolutely. I think I'm trying to think of like anything else that would probably match us most or like more than what you just said. And it's, yeah, it's definitely strong-willed, strong personality, strong, like strong anything. I think that is our bit, like strong, overall strong people.
I think we also sometimes use that strength as a shield though to the feelings that we feel inside, and that we can actually be quite tender and soft on the inside.
Yeah, we talked about it last episode, I think. Intimidation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we come off intimidating, but realistically, get to know us. I'm a soft ass bitch. I cry a lot. Okay. You know, like I put on a movie and the character's crying, I'm crying. We mm-hmm. both crying. You know what I mean? So definitely a lot of that strength. And I think it's just our upbringing, our surroundings, our, you know, goals in life have, you know, formulated this personality trait, and we've seen success in it. So we continue to be strong.
Yeah.
So yes, absolutely. I agree. I think that we are definitely the most similar in that sense.
Is there any other similarities you would highlight?
Similarities. I think that we are both very passionate
mm-hmm.
about whatever it is that we're doing or not doing in our lives, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm the type of person that even if I can't give something 100%, that doesn't mean I'm not trying to, because my passion comes from like within. Like it could be something as simple as like a text message. I'm like very passionate about saying whatever it is I need to say, or it could be something about learning about wine. Like I'm not giving it 100%. We're not learning about wine 100% of the way. We have other things going on in our lives too, but I want to be. Like, I want to be more into wine. Every time we drink a new bottle of wine, I'm like, what did I learn from this bottle of wine versus the last one that we drank? Or how are people going to perceive it? Or even this podcast, if you think about it. I think there's so much passion from both of us about everything in our lives that, like, again, can be misconstrued as, like, overbearing or too much. But I think it's pure.
Yeah, I would agree. Most different. I think this is the harder one.
I think you are much nicer than me.
I can fake it a little bit better than you.
Okay. That's a better way of putting it. I think that, you know, think about like different conversations that you and I have had in the past when we have, I think, again, this goes back to like upbringing, when we have maybe disputes with someone or disagreements, how I approach a situation versus how you approach the situation is the most different. Like there are so many times where I have to go to you and be like, hey, am I coming off like a complete bitch in this sentence? Or like, how would you differently word this to come off more like, you know, to get my point across more firmly in a nice way than just being blunt and attacking, if you will.
But I also feel like our age difference, you know, only 2 years, but 2 years can make a difference. I've had 2 years more practice, you know, than you. So that it's, you know, I don't think it's necessarily you're just inherently not good at that thing. Being married has also forced me to have more practice with that. Cause when you're with somebody long-term, I mean, we've been together for 9 years next week, actually, but that, you know, that kind of thing, it kind of forces you to be able to communicate with someone effectively because you're stuck together. So it's either you guys figure out a way to communicate with each other or you hate each other. And obviously, you know, we've found ways to communicate. So I don't disagree with you, but I also just think there are external factors and not just that you're inherently not as good at it as I am.
True. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe that, and maybe like our upbringing, I think, is the most different. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, you grew up in North Arlington and I grew up in South Arlington, but completely different lives if you put it down on paper.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, your parents also were like learning how to speak English, right? So communication, like for your family was probably looked a lot different than communication with my family, where both my parents spoke English and, you know, they could work on these things and practice those, you know, good techniques of communication. Whereas your family was like, look, fuck it. We're just learning how to speak English. We're going to tell it to you however we fucking can.
Right. And if that's yelling a lot, then that's yelling a lot. You're going to deal with it.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good. It's nice to know that we're a lot more similar than different. I think that's why we're such good friends.
It has to be.
Okay. Well, do you have anything else to add today?
I don't. Thanks for being here with us.
Yeah, we love you. We look forward to this every single week. We hope you enjoy it as much as we do. If at any point you feel like you want to give us some feedback, reach out to us. We're just regular people. Don't be shy. Honestly, send us a direct message on our Instagram or whatever. Anyway, let's go ahead and close it out. So as always, thank you guys for listening and following along. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at One Bottle of Wine Podcast and tune in next week as we drink another glass. Cheers. Cheers.